remembering that he would sacrifice himself for us. And we come seeking your presence in our lives, that we will have a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, and contrite hearts as we seek to be drawn closer to you during this 40 days of reflection and prayer. Be with us now by your Holy Spirit, and let the words of our mouths and the meditation of all of our hearts during this time be acceptable to you, Lord God, for you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. Today I heard on the news that they were talking, and I want to call the news stations and let them know not to leave us out. They were saying today the Roman Catholics begin the first day of Lent as Ash Wednesday, and I was yelling at the TV, Protestants do it too, right? They always say Catholics, and we're always trying to clarify and to say that we do it, but we also do it as we remember Jesus's day, time in the wilderness. And of course, we have heard they were making corrections, and on one of the talk shows, they were talking about what Lent means, and someone says it's 40 days, and someone else say, no, it's 46, and it is 46 days, but we do our fasting and prayer for 40 days, because we take out the Sundays, some people. Some of us, you just continue, because it's so hard to get back on when you get off. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, if you give up chocolate and then you, that's what you're giving up, or bread, you never dare try to eat the bread on a Sunday because it takes 4 days before you could give it up. You know, I speak for myself. So when you give it up, you want to stay off. But most of all, we want to be doing what? More than just giving up food, is to be drawn closer to the Lord, don't we? To find ways to read the Word more, and to find ways to be in relationship with the Lord, and to pray. And so my sermon title today is, Let Us Pray. We always say that, right? We see it, and then we're inviting each other when we're in a corporate setting in churches. We say, let us pray. So now I'm inviting you to pray, to let us pray through the season of Lent. And there's a song where the chorus says, it's one of the contemporary songs, and it says, the chorus says, or the refrain says, let us pray everywhere in every way. Every moment of the day, it is the right time to pray. For the Father above, he's listening with love, and he wants to answer us, so let us pray. And so we want to be able to pray. I'm going to shuffle a bit, I think it's high. So we're going to, you know, we're being invited during the time of Lent, the season of Lent, to pray, to draw closer to God, because prayer is truly communication with God, is speaking with God, Abba Father. And so we hear the prophet Joel, as he says here, as he speaking to the children of Israel, he says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So in essence, we see Joel the prophet is encouraging and admonishing the people to pray. It's a call to prayer. You know, even now, says the Lord, return to me with your heart. It's a call to speak to the Lord in prayer, to seek him in prayer, to talk to him with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. That's what we do in prayer when we're seeking God's face. So we find that that is a call to prayer, a call for God, a call that we seek God in prayer. And then when we look at the gospel, we hear Jesus, and I just want to pick up the section of the gospel which was read to you, the section that talks about prayer. And Jesus says here, he says, and whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Right? Jesus is not big on the show, is he? That it could be seen by others. It says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Those are biting words, huh? For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so Jesus is trying to say there are times when we have to pray out. We pray out in corporate prayer, right? When we gather together as a group, we pray out together. There's a place for corporate prayer, corporate worship. But what Jesus is really saying here is, you know, we could pray in our own prayer closet, in our own houses, you know, wherever we are, in our cars, wherever we pray. And then he's going to tell them, pray then in this way. And he's going to give them the model for prayer, which is the Our Father. Pray then in this way. Simple outline telling us what we should pray and how we should pray. And we all know the Our Father. We all know it well. And this writer, Richard J. Foster, writes in his book, Prayer, Finding the Heart, the Hearts of True Home. And he writes, he says, we today yearn for prayer and hide from prayer. We are distracted, we are attracted to it and repelled by it. We believe prayer is something we should do, even something we want to do, but it seems like a chasm, a divide, stands between us and actually praying. We experience the agony of prayerlessness. And he says, pray just as you are. He says, what I'm trying to say is that God receives us just as we are and accepts our prayers just as we are. That means everybody's prayer in this place is just as good as everybody else's prayer. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody's prayer, God accepts our prayers just as we are. In the same way that a small child cannot draw a bad picture, so a child of God cannot offer a bad prayer. Do you know there is no bad prayer? Do you know that? And there is no better prayer. And there is no good prayer or no right prayer. It's nowhere it's written in the text. Not in the Bible we read. There's no instructions about that. Whatever God is, Abba Father. And just like we who are parents, we listen to the cry of our children. We listen to every word they say when they can speak or when they can't speak. And that they say it in good English or they don't say it in good English or whatever they say. And we listen, so does God listen to us. And so he writes, so we are brought to the most basic, the most primary form of prayer. And he says the most basic and the most primary form of prayer is called the simple prayer. Simple prayer. And we think when we use a lot of flowery words, you know, there are times I could pray when I'm in, you know, if I'm in a prayer group and I could pray and I could go on and use words because my heart is full. There is nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that God is hearing me anymore, right? But one heart is full and one is giving their prayers to the Lord. And culturally, there are many of us in different cultures that we pray out. We pray. There's nothing wrong with that. We spend time critiquing, and we should not do that. Some people are better at very silent prayer, very personal silent prayer, and some of us have to speak out to God. We are so full, we are calling on God, we call to God and we pray to God and we see God's face. There is nothing wrong with it. We each have to find our own prayer pattern, how we pray. The key is understanding and realizing who we are praying 2. The simple prayer is the most common form of prayer in the Bible. Simple is found throughout the scripture. Abraham prayed this way, as did Joshua, Hannah, David, Gideon, Ruth, Peter, James, John, and a host of other biblical folks who prayed simple prayer to God, and God answered their prayers. Because could you imagine if we serve a God who would be critiquing our prayer? Could you imagine what we would do if we serve a God who would then say to us, well, your prayer is not good enough, it wasn't long enough, you didn't have the right words. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we, if that happens? And so the key is that with simple prayer, we begin where we are. With simple prayer, that means we could all pray. We begin where we are. Each and every one of us can pray and must pray. This reflection helps us to understand praying in your own way. Praying in your own way. And so this gentleman, he writes his brief reflection, and it's called The Lord's Prayer, A Walking Prayer. And for those of you, if any of you are walkers, I like to walk when I am up to it and feeling okay. I like to walk, but I like to walk outside. I don't like to walk in a gym or on a track or on a, I like walking outside, whether, you know, I'm walking at the school or on the streets. When I'm walking, either I'll have some religious music, I'll have the music on now that we have the iPhone, or I'll have my thoughts, and sometimes I'm just praying. And I'll be looking around, and sometimes I'm walking, I walk from here to the train station, come around, and I'll be asking the Lord, you know, to bless our church, or, you know, or for the unsaved, and I'll be passing, and I'll be claiming certain places, and wondering, you know, certain things as I am praying. This gentleman, I know that when I read this reflection, he was talking about the Lord's Prayer as a walking prayer. And the writer states, he says, every evening I walk 3 miles as part of my losing campaign against high blood pressure and my imperialistic waistline. He says, I generally don't wear an iPod. Good thought, because he's going to focus on prayer. Because what does an iPod do? Makes you start listening to the music, right? He says, I generally don't wear an iPod because I prefer to take my exercise without anesthesia. I enjoy the sounds of nature, which is wonderful when you walk outside, and I want to be able to hear the cars honk before they run me over. What a thought for Lent, right? But he's serious, because you have to be. If you're, you know, when I'm walking, I try not to cross over 106 or 107. I circle this way because they will run you over. They, you know, and it's true. And he goes on. He says, sometimes I devote the time to prayer, and I have found that the Lord's Prayer makes a good outline. And then he says, here's how I do it. So he's taking the Lord's Prayer as Jesus gave, and he's putting it in a modern context. He says, I address God as my Father by adopting through the grace of Jesus Christ, and give thanks for his salvation. I pledge to keep his name holy in all my conduct. So you see, he's doing the Our Father. I remind him of ways I have done this in the past, and I ask him forgiveness for all the ways I have failed to do so as well. I ask that his will be done here on earth through me as efficiently as it is done by his angels in heaven. I give examples of how I think I could do that, and I ask his guidance and pledge my obedience. I ask for my material needs for the day, itemizing and discussing them. I give thanks for specific instances of his providence in the past. I ask forgiveness, but only to the degree I am willing to forgive others. If I have a problem, I discuss it in detail. If I am facing any particular temptations, I discuss them and ask God to help me resist them. If I have recently survived any tough tests, I discuss them and I thank God that He gave me the power to overcome them. I tell God the evil things that frighten me, and I ask Him to deliver me from them. I also give thanks for past rescues. You get the idea, don't you? When you pray like this, it's amazing how time flies. And so what he's saying here is personalize the prayer, the Our Father, for his own life. So as he's praying, he's doing the same, using the same model that Jesus gave, but he's personalizing. Because our prayers should be personalized, shouldn't it? When we pray to God, it's about the way we pray and the way how we should pray. Not to be concerned about anybody else who's praying. We have all prayed for people who have been sick and didn't get well. Nobody has the key to prayer. We have all prayed for loved ones who we know or that didn't get well. If we had the key, that wouldn't happen, would it? We have prayed for jobs that we didn't get. We have prayed for, and then we have prayed for and got it. Right? Because the one who's going to answer our prayers is Jesus Christ, God Himself. And so, just in bringing and closing, I'd like to give you a couple of points on how we should be approaching God. Approaching God when we are going in prayer is approaching God with a sense of duty. Knowing it's our duty to go to God in prayer. It's our responsibility that we ought to pray. It is my and your moral obligation to maintain a constant contact and communication with God. It's a sense of duty. Approaching God with a sense of delight. We should, especially when things are going well in our lives, we should be delighted to go to God in prayer. Should be pleased to give God thanks for what God has done. When we have grandchildren and children who are healthy and our life is going well, it should give us such joy to go to God in prayer. To say, yes, God, I thank you. Have you ever had a day when you get up to pray and all you can do is say thanks? Because life has been good. For that brief moment, everything, all the good things in your life has lined up and things are going well. You go to God in prayer. We should approach God with a sense of privilege. That is a privilege to be able to pray to God. We should also approach God with an attitude of humility. To know that we are speaking to our Creator God. A sense of humility. A bowed head, a bended knee, or whatever we think humility is. Because we are in the presence of God. And we should also approach God with confidence. The Bible tells us that we could go boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. That Jesus has given us the opportunity to enter the throne room of grace and mercy. To know that we can come and the Lord will listen to us. We should approach God with reverence. If we go to God, we should go to God in reverence, knowing that God is our Creator. And the one that I love, we should approach God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all God has done for us. Whenever you go to prayer, make sure you take thanksgiving with you. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God. And we should approach God in submission, knowing that God will hear and answer every prayer. And so during this Lenten season, I'm inviting you or encouraging you to pray. To go to God in prayer. If you don't give up a piece of chocolate, don't give up a candy bar, whatever you think is so physical and mundane, it does nothing to our hearts and it does nothing to change our circumstance. No, I take that back. If you give up some of the food, we'll lose some weight. But Lent is not about losing weight, is it? Although I'm going to try to do that while we're doing true Lent. because if I'm going to pray this hard, I'm going to have to give up something, give up some eating. But the point is, Lent is more than about just giving up something. We have made it to be like that in this culture. People are talking. This one girl said on TV, she says, oh, you know, she's a lawyer, and there's a group of them, and they travel together. And she says, oh, I'm going to give up carbohydrates, and I'm going to give up, you could hear the list. She says, I was going to give up wine. But guess what? My other girlfriends, and they're all married women, but they're in this team of lawyers. She says, none of them are going to give up wine, so I changed my mind. Do you understand? Because we have made it that way. It is more than that. It's a time to draw closer to our Creator. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, the scripture says. Right? And so we want God to create in us anew. We want to hear from Him again. We want to feel that when we come out of this on Easter Sunday, something different happened. And the only way it's going to happen is if we are in prayer with the Lord. Take time to pray. Get up in the morning, and if you haven't been doing it, when you get up and before you go wherever you have to go, you get on your knees or you're standing up or you're sitting down and say a prayer to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that you didn't take me home last night. Thank you that I've gotten another opportunity to be in relationship with you, to see my family, to see my loved ones. Thank you. And at night when we go to bed, before we lay down, Lord, have mercy that you will protect me through the night and let me live to see tomorrow. And Lent reminds us that we need to take the time to pray. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, prayed. And he prayed so that he would not be what? He would not sin. And he did not sin. He could not sin because he was without sin. But he prayed to his Father. So I encourage you during this Lenten season to pray. So church, let us pray. Amen.